Plain Right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I'm talking about y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in. Just for good measure. The text lines are blowing up today. So, yeah, you want to call in or text in. The number is the same, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I'll tell you what, I guess I better grab a few more of these before we wind up getting behind the power curve on it. Got several new texters, too. Jenny from Decatur says, Supreme Court says, no Biden, you cannot pay off student loans. Okay, so I need to go find out what, oh, I know what she's talking about. He's finding loopholes. Just so you know, Jenny, and it's a bigger story than I can get into with this quick answer to a text. It's not part of the show for the day, but the reality is Biden is finding other loopholes to pay off student loans. He's finding ways of declaring, you know, that there was an emergency here, emergency there, so he can do certain things. He has not been given carte blanche to just write them all off. He's having little select loopholes found in the law that he can use for a bit here and a bit there. It's aggravating. It's also maddening just to see it happening that way. Brand new texter in the line is Spence from Harvest. Spence, thank you. And by the way, Spence, I did see that video. I saw it last night. It's not part of the show today, but I think that's going to wind up being something we talk about here pretty soon. You're right. It was an awful situation that happened in a mall in England. Raven from Russellville, my brother, says the sheep fear the wolf. The sheepdog lives for the day the wolf comes. Be a sheepdog. Raven standing too. Appreciate you, brother, and thank you for your service. As always, welcome home. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, if you want to borrow my Hippie Fest dreadlock wig to get undercover into Davos, I'd be more than happy to loan it to you. He also says, Phil, I think you're living in an America a short time in the past, because nowadays with the Biden administration in charge, we turn a blind eye to all kinds of criminal. That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. The things that we're seeing right now are not the America that we know and love. By the way, the America we know and love is not gone, not at all. I don't want to ever portray that, well, it's just slipped away from us. No, the squeaky wheels have the opportunity right now to speak because they've been given the bully pulpit. That's why we have to take it back. But I'm going to tell you right now, just think back a few months ago when that song came out, Try That in a Small Town. Why did that resonate? Why did that resonate? It resonated because the average citizen really believes you come try that in my small town, you might not go back to your big town. I mean, that's literally the way I think most of America is still out there waiting for this to get reversed. What do you think?
I think the America we know and love was in the studio yesterday talking about Moms for Liberty.
Moms for Liberty.
I can't think of a better example of I just want to protect my kids. And
yep.
Yeah. No political nothing, just I just want to do the right thing. And yeah, that just seems like the America that's very strong, just doesn't like getting browbeat on the internet.
Even the name Moms for Liberty.
Yeah.
I mean, my word. Yeah. Just makes you want to go out and, you know.
Gives me hope.
Hold
a lot of hope.
Candle. Yeah. I agree. And she, by the way, she came last night and spoke to the, you were there. She killed it. I thought she did a great job of presenting what they're doing. And I already heard that they're looking at trying to get a chapter here now. So, whoop, whoop.
Nice.
Yep. Applause for that. Can we have some applause for Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty? I think that she earned it yesterday. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. What else we got here? David from Athens, before I jump into my dipper, says, I still remember my visit to East Berlin. Yes. 6 months before the wall came down, until you see the alternative, we really don't appreciate the freedom we enjoy. I distinctly remember, brother, let's see, I'm trying to think what year the wall came down, but I was there in West Berlin in 1979 or 80, I believe. And I'll never forget, at Checkpoint Charlie, which was one of the major crossing points between East and West Berlin, standing up on the western side, you could stand up on a viewing platform. On the other side, it was a minefield and a no man's land, and you did, you know. By the way, they didn't build their wall to keep people out. They built their wall to keep people in. But I remember standing there on the platform looking across at East Berlin, the communist side, and it looked like a black and white movie. It was all gray, drab. Everything disappeared to be kind of, you know, lifeless. But then all you had to do, I turned around and looked back behind me, and it was like looking at Las Vegas almost, West Berlin. You could see all the neon signs, the cars driving, people talking and laughing, and, you know, cafes were open, and everything had color and vibrancy to it. It was just, the dichotomy was just amazing. Anyway, makes you appreciate it. Thank you, David. Appreciate that for reminding me. Kevin from Hartsville says, on the idea of liberals saying they're going to Canada, he says, can we hold them to a verbal contract? Are we waiting for them to leave on a jet plane? Take Whoopi with you, he says. Jeff from Green Hill says, I'm sure these people who threaten to leave the country if Trump's elected would fit in with the government of Canada a lot better than they do here. By the way, there's a cool video out on Instagram and Twitter right now of Tucker Carlson leaving a voicemail for President Justin Trudeau saying, yes, this is Tucker Carlson. Yes. Just wanted you to know we're coming to liberate Canada. We are coming to liberate Canada. Thank you. That's all. And then left his voicemail.
Nice.
On the official voicemail for the Capitol.
I think there are a lot of Canadians that would like to throw some of those folks out too.
Eileen from Meridianville is brand spanking new in the text line. She says, I want Charlene's recipe for Texas taco soup. Listen, it's got all the goodness. I don't know how to describe it to you. And by the way, you have to put corn chips in the bottom of the bowl and then pour the soup on top of it.
Killing me.
Can we end the show an hour early?
Yeah. It's your show, Phil.
Eileen from Meridianville, I will talk to Charlene and see if she's willing to give up her recipe, but I can tell you right now, for a bunch of right-side ruffians, she would do it. We ought to have a right-side cookbook. Holy cow. I'm getting carried away now. Are we going to do this, Dipper?
I think you probably ought to. Otherwise, we're going to be in commercial here.
Hang on, I got another text. Gary from Decatur says, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas just tweeted that the Texas National Guard will not stand down at Eagle Pass. Thank you, Gary from Decatur, for that great segue into Dipper number one. So I'm calling Dipper number one today's Alamo. And by the way, I want to point out something. There's a whole lot being said about the Supreme Court yesterday ruling against Texas. And they did. It did. Make no bones about it. They did rule against Texas for now. That's the point I want to make. So Lawyer Phil talking here for a minute. What we're looking at there was not a ruling on the merits of the case. In this particular case, the one we're talking about is when the Customs and Border Patrol came and cut down wire that the state of Texas had put up to block illegals from crossing the Rio Grande, the state sued the federal government. In this case, it was actually the state suing the federal government as opposed to the feds, you know, suing Texas. So, story here, this one came off Texas Tribune. U.S. Supreme Court on Monday ordered Texas to allow federal border agents access to the state's border with Mexico, where Texas officials have deployed miles of concertina wire. This is not the Eagle Pass situation yet. This is an isolated instance of, we put up a barrier, you just cut it down. Why would you do that? Your job's to protect us, and yet you're cutting down barriers. Here's the thing. It says the order, first of all, did not explain the judge's decision, so we don't know what they were thinking per se. We can glean some things. We can interpret. But they did not give a written opinion filled with all of their facts and law that were cited as the grounds for which they made their decision. It also says in this article, and it's correct, it says, for now, it effectively upholds longstanding court rulings that the Constitution gives the federal government sole responsibility for borders. I disagree with that. This is a liberal rag that wrote this article. But it is correct when it says, for now. Here's the thing. When Texas filed suit, they asked for an injunction, and the injunction was to prevent the feds, during the pendency of the case on its merits, from being able to take down the wire. In other words, judge, we're suing, and oh, by the way, in the meantime, would you please tell them to stop taking down the wire? The lower court said no. The middle appellate court said yes and granted the injunction, if I'm not mistaken. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to have that injunction. Supreme Court did not rule on the merits. I do believe this case still has legs, very much so. So what you've got right now is, yes, for the time being, the Customs and Border Patrol can respond to the orders of their, you know, their higher authority and go down there with wire cutters. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Customs and Border Patrol has been extremely in favor of Texas. Their union has, they can't speak out themselves, the rank and file can't, so they speak through their union. When the union rep says, we absolutely support Governor Greg Abbott and what he's doing right now, you got to know that sends a signal back up to the Department of Homeland Security. Rank and file's getting a little tired of it. But right now, rank and file, if they are ordered to take down the wire, they will probably have to take down wire. The point that's being made and what appears to be the case, because the arguments that were made by the federal government were that Texas is prohibiting us from helping people when they're stuck in the wire, we have to get them out of the wire. That's basically Texas says, once they cross into, once the federal government says, once they cross into our side and they're in the wire, we have a duty at that point to apprehend them. And we can't apprehend them if they're being washed away in the river because they can't climb out because of the wire. At the same time, you got to look at it and go, you know, if I have an alarm on my car and a little sticker that says there's an alarm on my car, it might mean that people won't try to break into my car because it's a deterrent. They can see the wire from the other side of the river. It can also serve as a deterrent. This is not just that thing where you're going to get people caught in the wire. If they get caught in the wire, it's because they saw it from the other side and they came over and chose to get caught in the wire, and I hate it. I'm not trying to be cruel, but what I'm saying is they did so knowingly. Children, not so much. Children are being dragged across the river by adults, but the reality is the adult to come across that river, they can see the wire from the other side. They know. And we've got video that came out just the other day of illegals coming to the wire and saying, where is Customs and Border Patrol? And the State National Guard going, turn around and go back. And them saying, but we're supposed to look for the Customs and Border Patrol because they know. So here's the bottom line. Before we go to the break, I'll just tell you this. Since 2021, the article does point out, Governor Abbott has had Operation Lone Star. It's his state initiative, which has, by the way, been creating a lot of tension between state and federal. That's why I believe that this is not just a physical Alamo right now. We're watching Texas go into what I would call a legal Alamo. They are literally basically putting themselves into a position of being held in siege by the federal government. We're not going to protect your borders, but you're not allowed to protect your borders. But we've got to protect our borders. No, you can't protect your borders. That's our job. But you're not doing your job. There's quite a rub here. So under Operation Lone Star, Governor Abbott has deployed state troopers across his entire 1,200-mile Texas-Mexico border. 1,200-mile border, y'all. He's ordered state police to arrest migrants who are suspected of trespassing. He spent $11 million installing 70,000 rolls of concertina wire along the Rio Grande. He spent $1.5 billion state dollars to build dozens of miles of border wall because the federal government's not. He shouldn't have to be in this position. He shouldn't. The state of Texas should not be forced to have to do what the federal government is supposed to do but won't do, and that's the problem we have. And so, yes, in a 5-4 decision, a split decision, which is not super strong, by the way, in a split decision, the Supreme Court said, we're not going to let you remain in a position of enjoining the federal government until you've proven your case on the merits. That's where we are. They have to prove their case on the merits because this is a big, hairy deal. Not since the Civil War have we seen this level of resistance by a state to a federal government's actions. The Supreme Court has to handle this carefully. All right, Bubba, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. I'm in Dipper number one. Today's Alamo. What's happening on our southern border? It has ramifications that will be felt by all 50 states. And we may sure enough see it coming back to the Supreme Court again much later. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, you know, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so we're in Dipper number one, which apparently has hit a nerve because the text lines are going ballistic, man. I'll grab a few of these before I get too far behind. Brian from Decatur just texted in and said, could the state of Texas just move the wire inward further away from the actual border and bypass this order? It is to defend its own state. Hey, that's, you know what? That's an interesting thought. Can they step back a little bit?
They'll be on private property, so they just they need to have the permission of.
Huh. Yeah, like could the state get an easement on someone's property to go ahead and build a wall about a quarter mile inland?
Based on my years of living down there, I don't know. They really need to do anything but ask.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Yeah, buddy, you build that wall, I'll name my next child after you. Go ahead. I bet they would. Bert from Owens Crossroads says, the Texas border is a true case of the failure of the Department of Hopeless Security. Yeah, and by the way, that impeachment of Mayorkas, I believe, is going to be happening any day. I expect the articles of impeachment to really begin moving. And some folks say it's been taking too long. I'll just tell you, I have tried numerous cases before a jury, and I know that you just don't go forward until you're ready. We're not going to do some of these Nancy Pelosi-style impeachment proceedings where, you know, we'll just pass that bill later and find out what's in it. No, we're gonna see it done and done right, and I hope they get it done soon, though. John from Huntsville. Butters, you need to make some loaded tacos filled with butter, sour cream, and maple-flavored bacon. I love maple-flavored bacon, by the way, but I don't know that we can put that in a taco.
It sounds like a breakfast taco.
Okay, now I'm getting super hungry. All right. Tracy from Athens says, I second the vote for Texas taco soup. Okay, all right. Man, I'm burning through this entire segment just on text alone. Daniel from Tullahoma says, state sovereign right to defend itself, and that's true. And Raven from Russell again says, I don't want to fight, but my oath compels me to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I will if necessary. I love my country. Stand by, Raven. Steve from Trinity. The Biden regime claims the razor wire is keeping the border patrols from doing their job, but what's their job on the Mexican side of the razor wire? Yeah, I agree. So let me jump in here real quick. I'll tell you this. Attorney General Ken Paxton from Texas, he did respond to the Supreme Court, and he made it clear. He said, and I'm quoting, this fight is not over. I look forward to defending our state sovereignty. A part of the broader text says from his own press release, Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas, said the Supreme Court's temporary order allows Biden to continue his illegal effort to aid the foreign invasion of America. The destruction of Texas's border barriers will not help enforce the law or keep American citizens safe. The fight is not over. I look forward to defending our state's sovereignty. Now, listen, we're going to come back after this break and talk a little bit more about this, but I'll just tell you right now, Eagle Pass is literally ground zero. Ground zero for the, and by the way, I thought the Eagle Pass Park, I thought it, when I saw some of the headlines, I thought this was a small, like a, just a river cross or a boat launch park. It's a 47 acre park. It's 47 acres that they have now cordoned off. And they, cause it was basically, it was just like a illegal immigration funnel in some way, something about where it sits on the Rio Grande. And it's got a golf course, and it's got a park where they hold festivals and all kinds. I mean, it's really part of the hub of the citizens' ability to enjoy their community in Eagle Pass, and they've not been able to enjoy it. And so the state government, Texas, came in and basically told the Customs and Border Patrol, "Go away, you are not allowed in Shelby Park anymore in Eagle Pass." That, my friends, is the next battle that I see coming up. And it's going to be, and I don't mean like a battle like, you know, lock and load, you know, stack magazines and straighten out the pins on your grenades. What I am saying is this is the place where we're going to see where the will of the political involvement is, and we're also going to see the legalities of it come into play. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, today's Alamo. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two. I don't even know where hour number one went. I just felt like it just like poof, it's gone. Just okay.
I think it involved maple bacon tacos or something.
Oh, it got me 1 hour closer to the Texas taco soup. I do know that.
Oof.
Oh, my gosh. If she changes her mind and doesn't fix it, I don't know what I'm going to do because my heart is, like, set on Texas taco soup right now.
Well, I hope just she's saying. Listening right now.
Oh, she's listening. She's my groupie. She's my favorite. She's my biggest fan. And I'm hers, so it works out well. Speaking of great folks out there that we all love each other, Rayson from Hawaii is texting in. Rayson, I'm glad you're out there, brother. I hope you're doing well. It's and my thing's buffering. Here we go. It says, Brother Phil, we must show and discuss these illegal immigration issues with our illiberal family and friends and love them by sharing the facts. He's right. Tell them, speak truth to power, man. Thanks, Rayson. Glad you're out there, buddy. Wiley from Gunnersville says, given the dereliction of duty that Mayorkas is guilty of, as well as Biden willingly allowing the open border, is there any crime the left can commit that rises to the level of treason? Currently, it appears not. Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, you have to be tried for that. And in this case, each one of those guys that you decided has what the law would call substantive immunity, meaning they made a decision they thought was the right one to make. We didn't like it. The question is it treasonous? Not necessarily, but a dereliction you can prove. And I think that's where they're headed with Mayorkas, is they're looking at a dereliction of like nothing has gone the way it's supposed to go with him at the helm. And I think they absolutely have the ability. And he's lied to Congress multiple times.
But you've also got to have a judicial branch that's willing to chase that, right? And actually do that.
On the impeachment side, you don't. On the impeachment side, it's purely a legislative branch taking care of its own business. If they bring up treason, then yes, that does become something that's probably going to wind up being judicial. Now, had there been I'm chasing a rabbit now, but had there been an adjudication of treason, they could immediately impeach and remove from office because the conviction exists. In this case, they don't see it, but they can sure see dereliction. And they can also say, and oh, by the way, you sat there and said the border was secure. You know it's a lie.
I guess what I'm getting at is if they're not going to go after and they're going to buy the idea that, well, we don't know where that big bag of cocaine came from with Hunter Biden, then, you know, they're probably not going to chase that and really try to.
No, I don't think the Department of Justice is really going to work with us on stuff right now. I think there's a lot of rank and file and judges who would, but you got to get it, you know, got to get it to the point of prosecution first. So Eagle Pass, Texas, let's finish this up. Today's Alamo. Why am I calling it that? I mean, remember the Alamo. The Texas fight for independence from, you know, Mexico. At the time, or establishing itself as a separate republic, really back in the day, but when Texans and others who went to their aid stood in the Alamo against an overwhelming force, they did what they had to do, but they laid the foundation for what became Texas, which also became one of the greatest states in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. They established themselves. They put a foothold in place. It was a battle that did not appear winnable at the time, but it was one of those battles that galvanized a movement. I mean, you can think back through history and you can find those moments when a small group stood. Everybody knows the story of what's often referred to as the 300, the Spartans who stood in the what they called the hot gates at Thermopylae, the pass, and they blocked the entire Persian army from coming into Greece. Did they lose eventually? Yeah. Did they also galvanize the independent city-states of Greece to coalesce together in one force and then beat back the Persians later? Yes, they did. And there are people that, historians that say that that one battle, those 300 men who gave their lives, they became the catalyst that created what we now call Western society. Had we not seen those 300, the Persian army would, which is Iran now, by the way, the Persian army would have marched across and taken so much more ground, and Iran would be, you know, most of the known world. All that to say, today's Alamo. Eagle Pass. I don't know if Eagle Pass is going to wind up being the Alamo. I don't know who's going to blink first. I don't know if maybe both sides are not going to blink. I understand the federal government saying, you can't do that. I get it. I mean, I remember, and I was so frustrated watching when Seattle was just on fire during the summer of love in 2020. You had protesters calling themselves Antifa and some Black Lives Matter that were setting up what they called autonomous zones. The Chaz and the Chop, remember that? The Chaz and the Chop are autonomous zones. And the city of Portland would do nothing. And in that case, it was just the opposite. The Trump administration was saying, I'm going to send in federal forces if you don't restore some order to that city. Now, he did send in federal troops. Actually, they were FBI, to the federal courthouse in Portland and Seattle because they were attacking it. Some of my favorite scenes from those riots came out of those defending the courthouse moments. But nonetheless, that was a case of what we don't want is a constant, you know, tug of war between states and federal. There should be the ability to work together and live in harmony, even when policy issues differ. But in this case, we're watching a state of Texas that has now, for the last several years, endured. They have been the epicenter. Now, Arizona and California got their own problems, but Texas has been enduring because they have a 1,200-mile-long border with Mexico, and it has become just, you know, like I said earlier, the ground zero for illegal immigration. Do you know that more than the state of Alabama has illegally crossed our borders? Over 6 million people, just since Biden took office, have illegally crossed the borders. And it's like the entire state of Alabama plus marched across the border. All right. Let me just say this. This 47-acre park is called Shelby Park, and it's in Eagle Pass, Texas. Eagle Pass, Texas is a town about the size of Gadsden, where Butters and Big Rig and I are sitting right now. So it's a population of roughly 30,000, and they are seeing their own population size double every 2 to 3 days with the number of illegals that are coming across, sometimes 3 or 4 days, but nonetheless, you get my point. That many people are crossing near Eagle Pass. The park, it says in a story, this, by the way, this was a very liberal story that was written, but it's useful. Texas Tribune again. Story came out yesterday afternoon. The park has turned into a battleground in an escalating legal fight between the Biden administration and Governor Greg Abbott, who for the past 3 years has convinced state lawmakers, it says, to spend more than $10 billion in an attempt to deter hundreds of thousands of migrants who have crossed the Rio Grande. I guess the Texas Tribune loves this. I don't know. But it goes on to talk about some of the same expenses that I told you about earlier. And it also says in late last year, 2023, the state legislature passed a bill which Abbott signed and is scheduled to take effect in March that allows police to arrest people they suspect of illegally crossing the border. You're not allowed to do that? No, you're not. Immigration issues are reserved to the federal government, except that the federal government is not doing it. Catch and release is not quite what the law would typically allow, right? Texas has also filed various lawsuits. One Texas lawsuit filed dealt with the concertina wire. I've talked about that already. The other current standoff at the border is unique in American history, it says, according to academics who have studied the U.S.-Mexican border and immigration. And it goes on then to talk about Eagle Pass. So at this point, just so you know, the Texas National Guard has actually been called up. They have fortified 47 acres called Shelby Park in Eagle Pass, Texas. They've told the Customs and Border Patrol to leave, and it's getting ugly. I don't mean ugly like armed confrontations, not that kind of ugly. In fact, the Border Patrol Union is the one saying, thank you, Governor Abbott, we get it. But where it's going to get ugly right now is, what does the Biden administration do with this? I do not believe they're going to send federal troops down there. I don't. And if they do, keep in mind, even when you're in the net, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, when Big Rig and I were talking about him being in the Air Guard, that's still the Air Force, because on your uniform, it doesn't say Guard. When I was in the National Guard, it didn't say Guard. It said U.S. Army. I do not expect to see Texas National Guard and U.S. military in some type of a face-to-face confrontation. I don't. I do expect to see an army of lawyers. I expect to see this thing get rushed through the courts at some point, like no delay, we got to get it done, partly because I believe the Biden administration is worried about the election and they know that if Trump comes in, the issue automatically goes to Texas. And so I think they're going to try and push this thing as quick as they can. What you got?
I'd just like everybody to wrap their head around the fact that particularly the citizens of Texas are paying lawyers from Texas to defend against lawyers that they're also paying for at the federal level. Yeah. So that's the fun when you have government suing government.
Well, you know, you make a great point. In the Alamo, there were also a lot of civilians. There were some of our family members of soldiers and militiamen. And right now, in Eagle Pass, Texas, it's the civilians in the middle, the taxpayers in the middle, who are watching all this happen to their country. I will say this, you got to wonder what's going on with the local government. Apparently the local government decided not to take action. In this same article, before I finish this segment, I'll just tell you this. Eagle Pass, Texas, it's being said that the mayor said this is not something that we wanted, and they probably didn't. They didn't want this. I think this article is misconstruing things a little bit because it points out that during a 3.5-hour public meeting at City Hall, the 4-member city council, that's how small this town is, 4 members in the city council, voted against taking any legal action against the state of Texas to try and reclaim the park. In other words, it's their park, but they decided they weren't going to. Now, they may have been doing that partly because it's expensive for the small town to try and take action. I get it. But when the 4-member council votes against taking any action, and they had a public comment period, but only 2 people spoke, you got to understand that I think the locals are looking at this going, we're glad somebody's doing something. Because Eagle Pass, Texas has been getting run over, y'all. Run over. The Democrat mayor of Eagle Pass, Texas has called out the Biden administration multiple times. So you can't tell me, Texas Tribune, that what you just said could be construed as, well, the town doesn't like this. I'm pretty sure the town's okay with this. They wish it would all go away, but I think they're okay with it. All right, I'm going to call that Dipper 1, today's Alamo. Do not ever for a second think that this is not going to wind up having ramifications that move forward. The only thing that could stop it from having legal ramifications is if the Trump administration is able to take over before this thing gets determined on a legal basis. Yeah. All right, more to come. We're switching gears, though. The Axis of Resistance. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.